The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Hey, yo, say hello to the bad guy, Scott Hall, and I've got a scoop for you. And we all know there's a lot of podcasts out there, and I encourage you to check out this one. It's called Going In Raw. You heard it here first, Going In Raw.
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
Oh, what's your name?
Young boy Larson's last day. I got to do this.
Last day, man. Last day.
Anyway, last day.
Welcome back to Going In Raw News Brief. We're going to try to keep this one brief today because it's the weekend. Let's try to get it up to 702 likes, though. I know that's an ambitious goal, but I'm feeling ambitious today, Larson.
There you go.
What's in the news?
What's in the news? Well, apparently Vince McMahon decided that, F it, we're going to do it live. Because Pro Wrestling Sheet reported late yesterday, quote, Pro Wrestling Sheet has learned Raw, Friday Night SmackDown, NXT will once again resume taping their shows live from the Performance Center starting next week. Sources tell us the decision to go back to doing the shows live was made on Friday after filming 205 Live and Friday Night SmackDown. No word on what influenced the decision. If you don't recall, earlier this week we talked about WWE doing bulk tapings over the course of next week or so, and more or less getting enough in the can to take us from now until essentially Money in the Bank. Apparently, Vince changed his mind, as he is often wont to do. Fightful Select has some more information about that. Go subscribe to Fightful Select. It's pretty much the best thing if you like pro wrestling. This is what they had to say. Quote, Fightful was told that a very aggressive Vince McMahon made the decision, and many on the talent roster are unhappy about it. It was at the Friday SmackDown. Some of the WWE tapings were given a letter in case they were questioned by law enforcement, stating they are essential media.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is an interesting step to take.
What a great descriptor there. Very aggressive. Very aggressive McMahon.
Yeah.
Oh, man. When these billionaires have their backs against the wall, they will get aggressive. Oh, I don't get my way. So, yeah, they've been given a letter. They have to carry around a little letter with them. I'm essential media. Excuse me, sir. Can you pull over your Kia Soul? Anyways,
I have $150 in my pocket plus this letter that says I'm essential media.
Following SmackDown, though, Wrestling Observer had some additional details and reported why WWE was going back to live broadcast. This is kind of interesting. Quote, the decision to not do tapings all weekend as was previously scheduled came during the middle of the day while taping SmackDown, as McMahon announced he was changing everything and that the show would be going as close to live as soon as possible. Could you imagine how infuriating that would be, man? You're sitting there, you're putting all this hard work in, all of a sudden, grumpy old 75-year-old Vince McMahon comes in, we're changing it all. We're going to go live. So many in the company were shocked at the decision, although at this point, I'm not sure why. Those close to the situation have defended it, and that it was the correct economic decision, even if every decision and even running at all has to be questioned right now. And this is why they say that it might be the correct economic decision, because contracts with both NBC Universal, of course, USA's parent company, and Fox call for a certain number of shows per year that can be taped. For Raw, that number is 3, which at the start of the year was earmarked for one show over Christmas week, because I always do that, and 2 shows during European tours. In theory, that would leave them with 49 live Raws. Fox has a similar deal.
Now, before you continue to the next bit, which explains why they're not pushing past the 3 contractually agreed upon taped episodes, given the circumstances going on in the world, dealt with somewhat the next bit from Wrestling Observer. It's interesting, and Meltzer talks about this article about how with the lack of live content or any sports right now, that WWE would potentially have some leverage going to negotiations about approaching NBC Universal or Fox, saying, hey, given circumstances, is it cool if we tape more? Because it's putting the safety of our roster at risk to have to fly into Florida every week.
Yeah.
You know? And yeah, they can take all the precautions they want while they're there. And yeah, they can tell the people on the roster who's going to be involved in these tapings, hey, be careful. You know, self-isolate as much as you can. Nonetheless, even if airplanes are like 90% empty now, they still have to walk through the airport, get a ride, you would think.
Well, I thought, aren't they doing the thing where they have like an entire hotel booked and they're just like stashing everybody there?
Yeah, I think so. But are they going to tell, people on the roster, hey, you have to live here for the next 4 months?
Yeah, I don't know. That's I don't know if they would be there the entire time.
Because that's asking a ton of talent to say, oh, you have to be away from your families for 4 months. You're already lucky to get a day and a half home.
Yeah.
But now for the next 4 months, you have to live at this hotel. I know it's a situation where, we've heard that if talent doesn't want to be involved, they don't have to be involved.
Yeah.
Period, you know? At this point, I don't know how it's going to affect them contractually with no house shows as far as downside guarantees, any of that stuff.
Well, okay, let's finish this last little bit up, and then we can talk about like how asinine this is, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. So they conclude, while nobody will say so publicly, the fear was that by violating the contract, it would give the networks the legal ability to withhold money, because there's like a bigger story here, or find a way to change the deals. With no house shows, the company, like all sports companies, is surviving largely based on television revenue. But the networks paying that are also taking in far less revenue than they projected at this point in time due to the pandemic. It just feels like WWE, after a year, 2 years of just throwing money at, like, if just, you know, oh, hey, we've built this house of cards. Let's start acting like it's a solid foundation, which it clearly isn't. The Saudi Arabian government, we've heard, has been withholding payment. There was a period of time, I think that's still going on, when the WWE Network, they stopped running it in Saudi Arabia as apparent. I mean, you could put the pieces together as seemingly, you know, some quid pro quo, if you will. Vince McMahon maybe he feels like this is leverage going into, you know, the next couple of years for the team. Say, hey, when push came to shove, we kept on being live. Yeah, regardless.
This is still the first year of the deal. There's still 4 more years left. So by the time these contracts expire, that's old news, man.
That's super old news. And number two, would they really care? The whole point of the, I don't know. I mean, we can kind of debate, I guess, on this, but the entire idea, there's two things. Number one, the entire idea of being live is, I know anything can happen, but also it's like a live shared experience with whom? The audience.
Yeah.
There's no audience. So this is like watching one of those when NBC will put on, oh, it's, you know, This Is Us live, you know, like,
yeah.
Like,
yeah,
who cares?
Like, it's a technical exercise more than a vastly different experience. Here's the thing about, in the live setting, anything could happen to WWE, except when everything is so micromanaged down to the granular level, mm-hmm. where there's basically no spontaneity for anything.
Yeah.
It's like when we went and saw Interpol, and they pretty much recreated their album like by the note.
Yeah.
That's kind of what WWE is like. There's such an utter lack of spontaneity that, it's live. But it feels like, you know, any band who goes out there and plays, you know, they're like when they do those whole record concerts.
Yeah.
And they just do it note for note with no changes.
And
nothing different.
Here's the thing also is that this is in my opinion, when they produced episodes, when they taped them in advance, they could take advantage of production, of editing, of doing cool stuff after the fact. They had the great. And I know you thought it was cheesy, but, you know, they wouldn't have been able to do it otherwise. Baron pushing Elias off the thing. Yeah. And so WWE has an opportunity to utilize Performance Center as like a canvas where you can tape and edit and produce and stuff like that. You could do the cool stuff with Bray Wyatt where he's showing up all over the place.
Yeah, Vince is interested in that.
That to me, in my opinion, the thing that drives ratings is quality programming, is let's see how creative they can get. And that will at least help the ratings. So I would think they'd be in a better position to go to the network and say, hey, during this period of time, when everybody else was fleeing, we were able to provide you with content that still got around 2 million viewers a week. And we were able to do that by virtue of, you know, the producing stuff. So can't you, like, you know, forgive us for taping stuff during this pandemic? There's also the matter of right now, the zeitgeist is don't do anything. Like,
stay at home, yeah.
And so, like, they might, I think you kind of alluded to this, they might say, yeah, but you were doing this in a very dangerous manner.
I know. We just, Gavin Newsom just told Disney to pull the plug on the UFC.
Yeah.
He made a call to someone at Disney and says, you can't do that.
Yeah. And I'm actually kind of, I am, on one hand, I'm shocked, and on the other hand, I'm not, that this would be a decision solely based on a very aggressive Vince McMahon, that they wouldn't be in active contact with NBC Universal and Fox saying, hey, how should we best approach this? Would it benefit us if we were live? Is that a bad look? Maybe they have, and maybe they have told the WWE, you know, hey, if you guys can do this live, we'll be the only people with live content, and you know, we'll look favorable. Maybe they have received that kind of message from them.
We don't know what kind of back and forth has been going on between, you know, WWE and their broadcast partners in that respect.
Nonetheless,
with the optics, you know, everywhere else is seemingly stay home, don't put yourself at risk, don't put others at risk by going out and just, you know, ignoring stay-at-home orders and not self-isolating. And granted, WWE could put all the precautions in place. They could check talent their way in the door. You know, as we heard around WrestleMania, they pretty much booked up an entire hotel, told the talent to stay here. You could take precautions. All these precautions you can take, it's not going to eliminate the threat of someone getting infected. It's short of never leaving the house.
Yeah.
That's the only way you could more or less, not even guarantee, but with a high degree of certainty, say to yourself, I'm going to be cool.
Yeah.
So otherwise, anytime you go out in public, you're potentially exposing yourself.
I know. Somebody's tone deaf here though. And it's not,
obviously. Not I mean, between selling all that stock, between pulling the plug on the XFL, you get the sense that at the very least Vince realizes his entire business is a house of cards. And the worst case scenario is that they're really cash poor at the time.
Yeah.
And he needs liquidity, I believe is the term, to keep his company afloat.
Yeah. It seems like it's the case. Let's see here. Speaking of tone deaf, Ronda Rousey had some stuff to say. This is via Steve-O's Wild Ride podcast. I remember Steve-O from Jackass.
Yeah, I remember Steve-O. Yeah. She was asked about her experiences working WWE. It's a pretty extensive bit. This is the salient point regarding her experiences working with WWE and how she related to the fans. This is what she had to say. Quote, what I am doing it for if what am I doing it for if not being able to spend my time and energy on my family, but instead spending my time and energy on a bunch of effing ungrateful fans that don't even appreciate me.
Wow.
She continues, the thing is, I love performing, I love the girls, I love being out there, but at the end of the day I was just like, F these fans, dude. My family loves me, they appreciate me, I want all my energy to go into them. She goes on some more about how much she enjoyed working at WWE. She didn't like working house shows. She didn't like the schedule. But that's the grind of pro wrestling. You know, either you're into that or you're not.
It's almost as if she's just in it to be uniformly cheered for going out there and being a pro wrestler. Wrestling doesn't work that way. It never has.
No, it doesn't.
Never.
It doesn't.
Have you ever heard a wrestler complain? I mean, okay, so yeah. I mean, we've talked about, like, Seth will complain about fickle fans. I mean, wrestlers do complain about it, but it's more. Usually, when you hear about this, is guys that, like, sort of, I don't know. It's guys. It's more like Seth. When Seth does it, he's being Mr. Company Guy.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, they're just so fickle.
And I don't remember him taking to Twitter to complain. Out of character, him taking Twitter to complain about being booed. I feel like
No. He's never done that. No. He's had different complaints about fans. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like Roman, who got some of the worst of it, not a complaint.
Oh, you wouldn't think, dude. It wicks off him. Yeah. Yeah.
He did not complain once publicly.
Yeah.
Something tells me he probably didn't complain a ton backstage either.
Yeah. That's part of the business, though, man. I've never heard, like, a wrestler complain like, oh, I'll just go to my family. Okay, then go to your family. Nobody cares.
But here's the thing, too, is especially towards the tail end of Ronda's run.
Yeah.
When she was calling, and in this interview she said it too, calling wrestling fake.
Yeah.
Even then she was complaining about the fans.
Yeah.
This just seems, at least in part, a continuation of that.
All right, so I guess that begs the question, is this a work or a shoot, Larson?
It might be a little bit of both.
Could be. I feel like she lives her professional wrestling. You know what I feel like it is, man? I feel like these are her real feelings, but she has no problem airing them out because she understands that it can play into, you know, another run in the WWE.
Yep.
You know, it just would have been kind of nice. Maybe she said, you know, that Sky, I don't know how they do it on that Sky. I'm sorry. I didn't listen to the entire thing. Maybe she did say this. And I know she's been respectful of it before. She said, you know, it's a tough grind. It's not for everybody. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I kind of figure this is, you know, this is, you can sort of take, even if you understand it, if you let it get to you a little bit and then you release that out into the wild, it could benefit her if she's going to come back, you know?
Yeah. And I think in the same interview, she said that she would never come back full time, but she'd come back for chunks of the time.
Yeah. She's like, I want that.
And she's been doing a lot of.
You can't even call it a Brock Lesnar schedule anymore, can you? Because that dude's like there all the time.
Well, I don't think we're going to see Brock for a little bit.
Yeah, but while he was there for
a while. Yeah, yeah. She's been speaking. Maybe she's just being asked about a lot more. She seems to be a lot more forthcoming about the prospect of returning at some point. So it seems like it's on the horizon potentially.
Yeah, yeah. Also on the horizon, the WWE doing their own. I like this. You dubbed it the G205.
Yeah, going into Rob Zerver, one of her mods dubbed it the C1 climax.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's good. That's good.
I think I actually like his joke better. But anyways, continue.
So yeah, the NXT Cruiserweight title is currently under quarantine in Ireland, along mm-hmm. with its holder Jordan Devlin. And so why not? This actually sounds pretty cool. So is this going to air? Well, I'll just get into this. So WWE announced the format for the upcoming Cruiserweight tournament. And up to this point, they've only done single elimination tournaments.
Correct.
I don't know if they've ever done a round robin ever.
Not that I recall.
Yeah. So that's what we're looking at here. The details come to you from WWE.com. 8 superstars will be split into 2 groups of 4. Superstars will compete against each other against each of the 3 other members of their group. So there's 2, what do you call them? Groups, right?
Yeah.
Groups. Yeah, superstars. And then the superstar with the best record in each group will advance to the champ. Blocks.
That's what it is. A block, B block.
Superstar with the best record in each group will advance to the championship match. Any ties will be broken by a head-to-head record. The winner of Group A will face the winner of Group B to determine the new interim NXT Cruiserweight champion. Is this going to take place on 205, Raw, NXT?
I'd expect it would be 205 and then maybe have the finals on NXT.
I think, yeah, maybe a mix of 205 and NXT, yeah. That's mm-hmm. cool, man. Mm-hmm. That might give me a reason to tune into 205. You know what'd be great? You know what'd be awesome? You know what'd be fantastic? Mm. Nothing against the people who put these matches together. They don't produce them. They just let the wrestlers go out there and do the best thing that they possibly can.
I know.
That would make this really like the G1.
A showcase for the wrestlers.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. Just let them wrestle.
Like tell the producers or whoever is doing creative for the show these days, say, hey, this is the story beats we need to hit throughout this tournament. It's up to you, wrestlers, to best implement these story beats in terms of telling the story of this tournament as a whole.
That'd be pretty cool, but yep. We'll see if that happens. I mean, they've got some terrific producers over there.
Yeah, I think Adam Pearce and Jamie Noble do a lot of the production or producing for 205.
Yeah, no, and Hurricane Helms. Mm-hmm. They do some really Abyss over there, too. They do some really terrific stuff.
Hey, don't forget Jeff Jarrett's one of the producers, too.
Who's that? What?
Jeff Jarrett. Double J. Ain't he great?
Oh, yeah, that's right. So, but I don't know. It'd be kind of fun to mix it up maybe a little bit.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Totally.
My dog wants out of this office, man, so I got to let her out. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We appreciate it. Tomorrow we have our Dark Side of the Ring review for the Brawl for All, bro. I'm gonna be talking very effusively, positively about one Vince Russo, man, because I'll be honest, him and Bart Gunn, I think, were the hero of that whole thing.
Yeah, they both came off pretty well.
Yeah, but we'll get into that tomorrow. Thanks so much for watching. Until next time, talk to you later.
Goodbye.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.